last week on Jack Unmasked.
Walking under the ice surface to get to the to your dressing room. Johnny Gusek was the guy, Chief Eel. He's like a god in Boston. I was pretty fortunate to have a friend like him. He worked 40-some years for the Bruins. Big guy like Gusek taking me in like that. He's just a nice guy.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Delisle. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, we got Jack on the line. Jack, how are things going down there today?
Oh, good. The weather's beautiful. Nice day. It's supposed to be 78 degrees here today on our temperature scale. So, yeah, no, it's just nice. Beautiful down here.
Nice. What do you guys got going on this week? Anything going on?
Well, we have a weekly golf match on Thursdays. I run a golf tournament, not a tournament, just a golf thing down here for anybody in the park that wants to play, but I'm getting too many now. We got 36, and that's the most I can have.
You're like the social director down there.
Yeah, I guess so. And we're after the golf game, we're having it's called a happy hour, which is normal down in Phoenix down here.
Yeah.
And this week, we've got a fish fry lined up.
Cool. Well, that's probably a little bit healthier than Fat Willie's, isn't it?
Yeah.
So last week we were talking, we alluded that you were part of one of the, well, at the time, it was the biggest trade in hockey. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the year before was, you know, I was playing pretty regular with the Bruins, and it was just after the year was all over, they missed the playoffs, which was normal in those years because they didn't have a good team at all. So,
yeah.
And we missed the playoffs. And so I went home anyway, flew home and back on the farm and just working and keeping in good shape. And then all of a sudden in May, probably the 15th of May when the trade was made, I probably got a phone call that day saying I was traded to Chicago. And I thought, wow. Of course, Milty Schmidt was my coach. And he says, well, yeah, you were traded. And he says, you were kind of the last one thrown in. We had the other two guys, Pip Martin and Gilles Marat. They were the other two guys that got traded to Chicago for Ken Hodge, Phil Esposito, and Freddie Stanfield. So yeah. Anyway, it was a 3-for-3 deal. And he said, we just kind of threw you in. They wanted a goaltender, so we had you. So we thought, well, we'll let you go. That's how I got to Chicago anyway. It was after I got there, or I guess it was before the trade was made. They sent me letters in the mail saying not to play ball or don't golf too much, keep in shape and come to training camp in good shape. So it wasn't hard for me, but it's really hard for the guys that all they did was drink beer all summer and go to the lake and sit and do nothing.
Yeah.
And they'd come to training camp and they wouldn't be able to walk, let alone skate. So that's the ones that they're trying to get to come in better shape.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So then after the big trade happened there, I mean, at the time, this was May 15th, this is 1967. At the time, yep. Was it thought to be a big trade or did it turn out to be a big trade after the fact?
Well, I think at the time, and this is just the press guys made this comment that maybe about 10 years ago, they said this was the third biggest trade in National League Hockey League history with Phil Esposito coming over. Because when he came over with the Bruins, he really fit in terrific. So did Ken Hodge and Freddie Stanfield. They just fit in terrific because Bobby Orr came up 2 years after the trade. And when he came, Phil on the front of the net and Bobby Orr on the point, you figure out
yep.
What's happening. I mean, they can just perform miracles. So Phil was a big guy, and he's hard to move and right in front of you and screening you. And guys that come in push him and then end up in a real pushing match. And he was a pretty big Italian boy. And he could take care of himself.
Yeah, he was like 6'1", 205. He had 27-21 with Chicago. Then he had 35, 49, 43. Then he had 66 goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And those big years, 76-66, was a couple of years, 3 years after the trade. And that's when that's when they won the cup.
Yeah, I would think. I know Orr wasn't there very long when they won the cup. Matter of maybe a year or two. I think they got to the finals the year before or something, and next year they won the whole thing. Because I remember the year they won it when Glenn Hall was playing for St. Louis in goal. I've talked to Glenn just about 2 months ago about this, and he remembers that he's got a good memory for games like I do, too. He doesn't forget. And he was the goaltender in the net when Orr got, when he was flying through the air after he scored the goal.
Yep.
Glenn was the goaltender, and he says, what are you going to do? And he gives it to Sanderson behind the net, and Sanderson gives it back to him in front of the net, and nobody's on him, and he's wide open. And then Noel Picard picked up Orr after the puck was in the net, and he put a stick in his feet and kind of scooped him, and that's when Orr went head first flying through there, and that's the picture that we have at home of that particular goal. So,
yeah, that's true.
So anyway, the trade, Marat and Martin, a lot has happened to them. So since the trade, they both died. Pitt Martin drowned. Down Quebec. Nice place. He lived out on an island. He didn't really care for people around too much. He liked to be alone, and he was living out there until wintertime. He's out cutting wood for the winter and with the wife, and he thought the ice had frozen over enough to come into the store and onto the mainland to get some groceries, and he was on a snowmobile and heading across the lake, and ice broke, and down through he went, and dead. I mean, how are you gonna survive with a big snowmobile suit on and a skidoo? And so
that's right, yeah.
And Gilles Marat, he had cancer. When Gilles played, he was a pretty, I don't know what you call it, a wild liver or just a different kind of a liver. He liked to carry on, and he died of cancer. I don't know how many years ago, but he had cancer and just died. So
yeah,
it's just sad, but that's the way things happen. So
true, that's right. Yeah, so it was about 2002, 2003. They actually had sort of like a reunion of the trade. It was like 35 years after the trade. There was more going on in this whole convention. I mean, you can kind of tell about, but they basically invited you and the six guys that were part of the trade to be invited to it. Just kind of tell us about that experience.
Well, we got it by letter from this guy, Mike, somebody in Boston, said he'd like to do this. Wasn't sure he's going to do it, but he said he wanted to. And so anyway, the time went on and phoned back or wrote another letter back, says, yeah, it's on. And he said that, I don't know if they wanted to hear this enough, he said they'd give us $1,000, give me anyway, $1,000 to come down and can bring my wife and stay in they had a hotel already picked out. And the deal was it's an autograph sign.
I was going to say, I'm sure Phil got a little bit more.
Yeah, it was an autograph sighting. So he had all lined up where huge building, warehouse or something, just a huge, huge building. And the deal was you could pay $20 and you could come in and you could get anybody's autograph you wanted. And every particular day was football players Saturday or Friday and basketball Saturday and hockey, whatever day, Sunday. So it was something every day. So that's what we did. So we got all there the morning early and signed all these signed, I think it was 300 autographs each on these big pictures we had. So anyway, we all did that. All six of us were sitting there. And so it went over good, and people would come in, and you're lined up. You're kind of in a stall kind of thing where the people want, if they want you, when they paid at the door, they'd get so many tickets to get so many autographs.
Yeah.
So they'd come to me and want an autograph on a picture and go to Esposito and get his autograph with another ticket. And that's the way the whole day went. And it was actually a good deal. And then the whole thing planned was they had a big reunion there of the Bruins right next to our hotel. Big restaurant, dinner and all that, and they had that lined up. So we went to that at evening time, and it was a superb meal we had. Deal where everybody sat, and I was just kind of the lump on the wall. I wasn't a big star like anybody else, but there was guys like Wayne Cashman was there, and Phil Esposito, and Kenny Hodge, and Freddie Stanfield was there, and Gilles Marat, Pitt Martin, and myself, and all these guys were all sitting around this reunion they had with the Bruins. And supper was over, and I'm just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, Jerry Cheevers and Wayne Cashman come over and sat beside me, and we're just talking hockey and BSing about everything. And one thing led to another, and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm farming back home, and, you know, it's kind of good and had some good crops lately and whatever. And I said, I'm putting on a deal, I said, in Delilah. I said, I like doing this once in a while just for the community and putting on a night for the day for the golf course and for they want a new plant in the rink and thought would put this, I get some athletes in to perform and be there and golf and that would be good. So, and they looked at me and says, oh, I said, why, do you want to come? He says, yeah, I think so. Only way I line them all up, says, okay, we're happening on this date, and I'll get a hold of you, and when time comes, and I went back to Lyle and told people I got Jerry Cheevers and Wayne Cashman coming, and they thought that was just terrific. So.
Oh, yeah. Because that wasn't really planned. I mean, you didn't even know that when you went out there that you were going to talk to these guys about that. It just kind of, all of a sudden, you were sitting there talking to them. They sit and you ask them, and they say they're going to come, and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, it just happened. So anyway, they came to Delisle, and, well, no, they came to the airport, and then I went to the airport to pick them up. And, you know, I hadn't seen Cheevers for years and years, and he's got no hair, and Cashman, I didn't know Cashman that well, but I knew him well enough.
Except he's the biggest guy walking off the plane.
Yeah, and they off the airplane with their wives, and so anyway, I went to the baggage claim and said, hi, I'm Jack Norris, and I said, I'm picking you guys up, and so I picked them up, and we got all their luggage, went to the hotel, and said, well, you guys, what do you plan on doing? Did you want me to go with me today, or do you want to do what you want with your wife? He says, hell, that's why we're here. We want to go with you. We're going to, yeah. I said, terrific.
Yeah, so I think we were going to lead into next week is the next few days, we get to spend, like, basically a lot of one-on-one time with the Cheevers and the Cashmans, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, we all do. I think that's the story we'll lead into, is the next 2 or 3 days of our time with them. I mean, they came out here and they fully embraced themselves with the community and our family. And I think it'd be interesting to tell the stories of what actually happened over that. What do you think?
I think it'd be great because the next day we had after that night in my place, we had a big golf match out in Riverside. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty entertaining to see how I lined it all up and what we did. And it's quite interesting.
Those guys, they know how to tell stories, and when they golf with people that they don't even know, they just know how to make those guys feel welcome and feel like, it's tough to describe if you've never experienced golfing with a hockey player from the 70s and 80s, I guess, to tell the stories that they did. It's well worth the money or just the time for sure.
Yeah, and we had more than just Cashman and Cheevers. We had Emil Francis, Greg Shepherd. I think Skippy Craik was also here. I think he was here. And Sam Richardson, the curling, he was here. Colin Coben, Sherry Anderson were here.
Yep.
Just quite a lineup of athletes that were here. So, and I often think back to it, you know, how did I ever get that many guys to agree to this? And, you know, it was quite simple, really.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Well, that's great. Let's go with that, Jackson, and we'll do that story there next week.
You bet.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Well, that ends episode 4 of Jack Unmasked, where Jack becomes part of hockey history for being involved in one of the biggest trades of all time. If you would like to be notified of the next podcast, go to www.nccag.ca, click on the podcast tab, enter your email, click subscribe, and you'll be notified of the next upcoming podcast, which comes out every Friday. There's also a comment section if you'd like to leave a comment for Jack. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Traded to Chicago. Milton Schmidt was my coach, and he says, well, yeah, you were traded. He says, you were kind of the last one thrown in. We Kip Martin and Gilles Marat, they were the other two guys for Ken Hodge, Phil Esposito, and Freddie Stanfield. This was the third biggest trade in National League Hockey League history. Bobby Orr came up 2 years after the trade. Phil on front of the net and Bobby Orr on the point. So you figure out what's happening. The year they won it, when Glenn Hall was playing for St. Louis, he was the goaltender in the net. When Orr's flying through the air after he scored the goal, says, what are you going to do? And he gives it to Sanderson behind the net. Sanderson gives it back to him in front of the net. Nobody's caught him, and he's wide open.